Today's shir is Masechta Bava Kama Daf Chof Hei. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Chof Dalet Amud Beis at the Mishnah towards the bottom of the Amud. Teaches us the Mishnah. Shara Mazik Bershus HaNizik. If the animal that did damage went into the Nizik's property, Ketzad. So we've learned that in that case, the Mazik is responsible. It says the Mishnah, Nogach Nogaf. If it hit with its horns, nagaf it hit with its body, noshach a bit, rovatz it squatted down on kalim, bought or kicked with its feet, and did damage. All of these situations are situations that are keren, and because the situation of keren, the halacha is if it took place in Rishus Rabbim, the obligation is to pay Chatzi Nezik. And as we've learned, that the halacha is that you pay that Chatzi Nezik for a tam, that's paid Megufoy, it's capped at the value of the animal. But what happens if this actually took place in the Rishus HaNezik? Rav Tarfon Omer, that even though it's Karen, but he says that Karen that takes place in the Rishus HaNezik, he says the halacha is you pay Nezik Sholem. However, as we've learned on Daf Yud Ches, even Rav Tarfon, who as we've learned, and today's shir is primarily focused around Rav Tarfon's opinion, that he holds that you pay Nezik Sholem Bershus HaNizik, he will agree that you pay that only Megufoy. It's capped at the value of the animal. And Rav Chama Omrim, and the Chama hold, they pay Chatzi Nezek. However, the Tosfos Rit says that even though the Rabbanan's opinion is that Karen always pays Chatzi Nezek, and that Karen pays Chatzi Nezek even in a case where it took place in the Rishus HaNizik, but there's one exception. And that, says the Tosfos Rit, is if the animal was brought by the owner of the animal into the Rishus HaNizik. When did Rabbanan say that you pay Chatzi Nezek? That's only in a case where the animal wandered in by itself. But if the animal was brought deliberately by the mazik, the owner, into the nizik's property, then the halacha is you pay nezek. For that, you'll pay nezek sholem. Moreover, we had a fundamental machloikus at the beginning of our masechta. How does the halacha look at Chatzi Nezek? In the case that a tam pays Chatzi Nezek, does it pay it? Is it memoino or knosa? The Pnei Yeshua suggests that in this case, even that with Tarfon, who says that in the Rishus HaNezek, you pay Nezek Sholem, says the Pnei Yeshua, if Tarfon's opinion is going to be that there's no question. It's memoino, not knosa. Amar of Tarfon. So Tarfon explains how he got to his position. Umava Makav Shakal, if the place where the Torah is more lenient, Al Shein Varegel, which means in the Rishus HaRabim, because as we've learned, there is no obligation of paying for Shein Varegel in the Rishus HaRabim. Shu Potter, because the Torah says regarding Shein Varegel, Bia B'stei Acher, not only when it's in somebody else's property, not in the Rishus HaRabim, still, the halacha is if the damage took place in Rishus HaNezek, by Shein Regel you pay Nezek Sholem. So certainly, Malkum Sheikh Mala Karen, when we speak about Karen, that it's even obligated to pay Karen in Rishus HaRabim, that you pay Chatzi Nezek, and Adin Shenach Malab Rishus HaNezek. So certainly, in the Rishus HaNezek, we should treat Karen more stringently, and certainly say that Karen should have to pay Nezek Sholem. So that's why Rav Tarfon says, that's how I come to my conclusion. Omel Loi, Srechachamim, respond to Rav Tarfon, Dai Lovim Din Lias Kanidin. In other words, how do you know that you're obligated to pay for Karen Bershus HaNezek? Because we learn it, how do we know you have to pay for Karen Rishus HaNezek? Because you learn it from Karen and Rishus HaRabim. So if Karen Rishus HaRabim, you only pay Chatzi Nezek, say to Rabbanan to Reb Tarfin, one of the fundamental rules in a Kal V'Chomer is Dai Lovim and Adinli is Kenidin. The Talmud cannot be treated more strictly, more stringently than the Rebbe. So if the Talmud is Rishus HaNizik, and we're learning that Karen Rishus HaNizik, you pay, it can't be treated any stricter than we would treat in the Rishus HaRabim. And if in the Rishus HaRabim, say the Rabbanan to Reb Tarfin, the halacha is that you pay Chatzi Nezek, so too, in the Rishus HaNizik, the halacha will be to pay Chatzi Nezek. Ma Rishus HaRabim, so just like by Karen you pay Chatzi Nezek in the Rishus HaRabim, so too, Rishus HaNizik, which is being learned from it, the halacha should be that you pay Rishus HaNezek, Chatzi Nezek. Amalhem, so Reb Tarfin tries a different approach how to come to his conclusion. Afani le'odin Karen, mi Karen. I won't learn the halacha of Karen in the Nizik, in the Rishus HaNizik, from Karen to Rishus HaRabim. Rather, ani odin Karen mi Regel. I'm going to learn the halacha of Karen from Regel. Ma'ava makom shel heikel Hashem vel Regel. If when we speak about Shein and Regel, then the Rishus HaRabim, you don't have to pay anything. Hechma b'Karen, you have to pay Chatzi Nezek. So certainly, Malkin Sheikhma al-Shein va-Regel, that in Shein a-Regel in the Shus ha-Nizik, you're paying Nezik Sholim, certainly, ain't a din shenachem b'Karen, that Karen also should have to pay only, that Karen should also have to pay Nezik Sholim in the Shus ha-Nizik. And again, the Rabbanan say back to Reb Tarfin, Dai lovim in a din, lias kenidan. At the end of the day, if not for the fact that Karen, that there was an obligation to pay for Karen the Shus ha-Rabim, this Kal v'Chomer would have never begun. So the din of Karen and Rishus HaRabim is a very important part of this Kal V'Chomer. And since it's an essential part of the Kal V'Chomer, whatever we can't have what we're learning from it be stricter than it. And therefore, Ma'ab Rishus HaRabim, say the Rabbanan to Reb Tarfin, the Chiyuv of Karen is only Chatzi Nezek. So too, in the Rishus HaNizik, yes, there'll be a Chiyuv to teach, there'll be a Chiyuv for Karen and Rishus HaNizik, but it can't be any more than Chatzi Nezek. So the Achroinim, the Maram, and others try to understand what is the difference between the two versions of the Kal V'Chomer. So the simple pshat is, where do we start the Kal V'Chomer from? According to the first version, we learn it from Karen. And according to the second, we learn it from Shein V'Regel, but we come to the same conclusion. And as I saw, the Atzmus Yosef takes this and explains, according to the first version, we're learning Karen from Shein V'Regel. According to the second version, we're not learning one mazik from another mazik, but rather we're learning place, one place from another place. So basically the Machloikis of Reb Tarfin and the Rabbanan and our Mishnah can be reduced to a question, do we learn Dayoy or not? Rabbanan subscribe to the concept of Dayoy, and Reb Tarfin doesn't. Reb Tarfin asked the Gemara, Leslie Dayoy, is it true that Reb Tarfin does not subscribe to the concept of Dayoy? For Dayoy, Daraisahu, asked the Gemara, the concept of Dayoy we see is a Daraisa concept. The Tanya, the Braisa teaches us, Bedin Kal V'Chomer Ketzad, as we just learned, that we know that there are the Braisa that many people say every morning, the Braisa of Rabbi Shmuel, Shlosh Esser Midrash HaTorah in the Dreshes Behen, there are 13 different ways how to learn Halacha, and one of them is, as Rabbi Shmuel teaches us, is through a Kal V'Chomer. And this Braisa comes to say, where do we see a Kal V'Chomer in the Torah? So the Bnei Yisachar in his Sefer Agra Dekala on Parshas Baaloscha says, just like we just said, Rabbi Shmuel says, Shloish Esrei Midrash, Shloish Esrei Midrash HaTorah Nedreshes Behen. So he says that the Shloish Esrei Midrash, the 13 ways that we expound on the Torah, on the Halacha and the Torah, are connected to the Shloish Esrei Midrash of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he says, that if we look in that pasuk, the corresponding midah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name to the Shloisha Esrei Midos of Kal V'Chomer is the word Kael. The word Kael is the word, is the shame of Hashem that's used when we have to, when we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make somebody healthy. So he says that's pshat in our Gemara. Our Gemara, we're going to see that the lesson of a Kal V'Chomer is learned from a Kal, the lesson of Kal V'Chomer is learned from the episode where Miriam got sick, and Moshe Rabbeinu damned for her to get well. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu, and how did Moshe Rabbeinu daven? Through a Kal V'Chomer. Because Moshe Rabbeinu knew that the Kal V'Chomer corresponds to the shame Kael. And if you say a Kal V'Chomer, that's a way that the Kadosh Baruch Hu's midah of Kael will be nesoirer, and that's how this woman, that's how you'll have refuah shleima. And therefore, he suggests that if somebody, unfortunately, is not well, needs refuah shleima, he should learn a Gemara that has in it a Kal V'Chomer, which is quite often in Shas, and that will be a school up for a refuah shleima. Says the Gemara, the pasuk speaks about after Miriam and Aaron spoke disparagingly about Moshe Rabbeinu, al oides isha kushus ashalakach, regarding the wife that he took. And the pasuk says, when Miriam became a tzaras. And the pasuk says that Moshe Rabbeinu davened on her. V'yom Hashem Moshe, v'viya yorak yorak b'fineab, halay tekolim shivas yomim. If her father would get her upset with her, wouldn't she be, wouldn't she have to be punished with the zifa, which is a form of a cherim, for at least 7 days? Kal V'Chomer, certainly over here, where she spoke kavayochel disparagingly about a Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kal V'Chomer l'shchina abos yoyim, that she should be in tzaras for 14 days. So where does, so many Rishonim Tosis questions, where does the number 14 come? What was the basis of the Kal V'Chomer that here it's by a father it's 7, and therefore here it should be 14? So Rabbeinu Tam says it's based on a Gemara, a Masechta Nida, that Flam and Aleph Amad Aleph, where the Gemara says that every person is comprised of 20 distinct features and characteristics. 5 come from the father, 5 come from one's mother, and the other 10 come from Hashem. So if a father contributes half of what a Kadosh Baruch Hu contributes, and if she is benazifa from her father, she's going to be for 5 days, for 7 days, by Kadosh Baruch Hu, it should be a double of 14 days. Tosfos in Baba Basra, Daf Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, has a different approach. He says that we know that every mitzayra, the Torah speaks about a hezgen mitzayra, when a mitzayra is confined, is he's confined for 7 days. Here, Miriam spoke disparagingly about Moshe Rabbeinu. So we know, explains Tosfos there, that a person, for why does tzaras come? Tzaras comes for speaking badly about somebody. So if you speak badly about a regular person 7 days, so certainly here it should be a double, Moshe Rabbeinu, 14 days. So I saw Rav Chaim Kanievsky asks that we have a rule, Ein Onshin Menadin. We don't give a punishment, we don't develop a punishment just based on a Kal V'Chomer. So how, asks Rav Chaim Kanievsky, could the Gemara suggest that the pasuk means to say the kavayachal Hashem said she deserves this punishment of 14 days based on a Kal V'Chomer? Isn't there a rule of Ein Onshin Menadin? So Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Zatzal, gives a beautiful answer. He says, why is there a halacha that Ein Onshin Menadin? Because the halacha, because we're concerned that we're going to have a Kal V'Chomer, and based on the Kal V'Chomer, we're going to give somebody a punishment, assuming that that Kal V'Chomer is a correct Kal V'Chomer. And then it turns out that the Kal V'Chomer is incorrect, but we already gave the person the punishment, Therefore, ain on shemad adin, we cannot give a kavachomer based on a kavachomer, because the repercussions can be serious and they can't be reversed. But here, he says, who is the one that was giving the punishment? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if he thought that, he certainly knows if the kavachomer is a good kavachomer or not. And if he's going to give the punishment, he obviously knows that this kavachomer is a good kavachomer. If he knows it's a good kavachomer, we don't have to be concerned that we gave a person a punishment in a situation that they really weren't deserving the punishment. So kavachomer, as we just said, really, it should be arba asa. It should be 14 days. Ella dai lovim adin liyis kanidin. We're learning from what happened, what a regular case is 7 days, so we can't make it stricter. So we see that we subscribe to this concept of dai lovim adin liyis kanidin midaraisa. Answers the Gemara. Ki lesle dayoi. When does Reb Tarfon not subscribe to the concept of dayoi? Hech de mifra kavachomer. In a situation where if we won't say dayoi, the kavachomer will be completely refuted, such as our Gemara. In our Gemara, if we're not going to subscribe to dayoi, what's going to happen is that we're not going to have a kavachomer at all, and they won't, and Karen, Rishus HaNizik, wouldn't be chayiv. Aval hecha loy mifra kavachomer, but where the kavachomer could stand, it's like even Reb Tarfon subscribes to the concept of dayoi. Hasam says, and the Gemara explains, by the story of Miriam, shiva d'shkina like sivir. The Torah doesn't say anything about Miriam being benazifa. What does the kavachomer do? Also kavachomer, based on the kavachomer, as we just learned, she's supposed to be benazifa for abesa for 14 days. Also dayoi, now we have the concept of dayoi kick in. For apik shiva, remove 7 of those 14 days, Vuki Shiva, and we're left with 7 days. Aval Hocha, regarding the case of Karen the Chatz HaNezek. Chatzi Nezek Siv. The Torah says that under all circumstances, by Karen, you have to pay Chatzi Nezek by Etam. The Torah doesn't differentiate by Karen between the Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah Nezek. Also Kavachomer, based on the Kavachomer that I learned, says Reb Tarfon, I say Chatzi Nezek Achrina, it upgrades that the obligation of Karen b'chatzah nizik is to nezik sholem, v'nasa nezik sholem. Now, if we're going to say idash the dayoi, now we're going to say dayoi, efrach le'kavachomer, then the kavachomer will have not served any purpose. If, as a result of saying dayoi, the kavachomer will not serve any purpose, says Reb Tarfon, under those circumstances, we don't say dayoi. Rabbanon who say that even in this case, even in a case where the kavachomer won't have any reason to be taught, we don't say, we still say dayoi. He says, shiva de shechina ksivi. Here too, if we speak about the case of Miriam, the pasuk says that she had to be tsuras for 7 days. Because the pasuk says, tisogar shivas yamin. So I know the 7 days, says Reb Tarfon, said the Rabbana, unlike Reb Tarfon, without the Kavachomer. So since I know without the Kavachomer, the Dayoi, I don't without the Kavachomer. And yet, what does the Dayoi accomplish? That we can't make it more than 7 days. So we see that even at the expense of having no Kavachomer, we still apply Dayoi. Reb Tarfon, so what? How does Reb Tarfon respond to Rabbanan? Says the Gemara of Tarfon, says, Hahut Sogar, the Shinon, that's what the purpose of the Saga comes to teach us. To teach us the concept of dayoi. And therefore, the Pasuk is saying that because of the Kavachomer, she should have been 14. Because of dayoi, we keep it to 7. Rabbanan say, Ksiv Achroina to Saga Miriam. I have another Pasuk to teach us the 7 days. In other words, the Rabbanan say that two Psukim about the 7 days. So even if one pasuk of the 7 days is here to teach us the concept of dayoi, I have another pasuk to teach us anyway that she would be 7 days. Reb Tarfon says the Gemara, who the other time the Torah says for the 7 days with the Saga Miriam Mechutz Machat Shivas Yomim, the Filu Ba'alma, the Shinan Dayoi. We always say the concept of dayoi, Maybe over here, why HaKadosh Baruch Hu employed the concept of Dayoi was out of respect to Moshe Rabbeinu, who begged that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have Rachmanos on Miriam. Hachem Mishun Kvaydish Shal Moshe, Av Be'alma, under other circumstances, we don't say Dayoi, Kamash Milan. So Tarfin's saying that both Psukim are here to teach us the concept of Dayoi. And neither Pasuk, to teach us, to hear we say Dayoi because the Kavachayim still has a purpose, but if in a case where the Kavachayim will be entirely refuted, we don't say Dayoi. There are a number of things that can emanate from a person's body that can make a person tummy. Keri is a person has a riyah, expels from his body shechva zera, semen. The halacha is such a person is tamei, has to go to the mikveh, he's tamei until Harav Shemesh, and then he's fine. Ziva is something else. And as the Gemara Masechet Nida explains, Ziva has very different rules. It's physically different than Keri, that it's different type of emission. And the halacha by Ziva is like this. If a person had one riyah, had one emission of Ziva, he's tamei, he goes to the mikvah and he's tamei till the evening. If he saw two riyahs or more, he has to have Zayin Nekiyim, 7 clean days without any Ziva, and then he becomes tahar. If he has 3 riyahs, then he has to bring a carbon as well. The tumah of Ziva is more stringent than the tumah of Keri, because a person who's a Zav, any liquid that comes out of his body, saliva, urine, atame b'maga u'b'masa. Whereas somebody who's tame because of shechva zera, the halacha is, the zera itself is only metamba b'maga, when you touch it, not when you carry it. And any other liquids that exit his body are not tamei at all. Ask the Gemara. Amalei Rav Papa L'Abaye. Vlad, hi Tana, like Darish Dayoi. I'm going to show you a Tana that doesn't say Dayoi, Avgav D'Lemifra Kavachomer, even in a case where the Kavachomer will not be refuted because of the Dayoi. The Tanya. The Brisa says, Keri Bezov Minayin. How do we know that if somebody is a Zov, but while he's a Zov, he also had an emission of Keri, of Shechva Zera, so as we just said, Shechva Zov is Metamba Maga B'Masa, Keri is only Metamba B'Maga, how do we know that this person's Keri will also be Metamba B'Masa? Dinu, we make the following Kavachoymer. Matar, if somebody who's Tar, Betar, Tomei, Betomei, if saliva, which comes out of a tar person, halach is that tamei betamei, if it comes out of a zov, as we just said, his saliva is tamei. Tamei, so certainly when we speak about a person, somebody which is tamei, she b'tar, ain't a din she tamei betamei, then since certainly that something which is tamei comes out of a person who's tamei should be tamei when he comes out of a zov, the kamaisala, and then the brisa brings this bein b'maga bein b'masa, that the halacha is that this halacha applies that the keri that comes out somebody's tamei bein b'maga b'masa. V'may, why don't we say neima dani kavachomer? Why shouldn't we say that the kavachomer to teach us maga v'hani daya lafugi masa? If we're learning the halacha of a keri, of a zov from a regular bal keri, so you should have the same din of a bal keri, and the keri should not be metabba b'masa. The fact that we don't say it is clearly indication that we don't say dayoi. V'chitei melo yitzro kavachoyma. Maybe you'll say, I didn't need the kavachoyma to come to this conclusion. Because I could say, the gargara mikavatar, the keri that comes out from a person, it's no different than a person that is tar that sees keri. Itzrich, kusakadat chamina mikrolailaksiv. The Torah by keri says mikrolaila. said, and we would say, Misha Garya Gurimlai, that only somebody because he saw the Shechazeris Tamei, Yotzeh Shein Keri Gurimlai, El Davacha Gurimlai, the fact that he's a Zov, Kamash Malon, that's why we need the Kavachimer, that the Keri of a Zov is Matamba Mamaga Bamasa. But if we would have said Dayoi, we should say Dayoi to teach us that there's only Tumas Maga and not Tumas Masa. And says the Gemara, let's look at the pasuk. Midi davachiksiv. We're saying that why is this Balkeri? Why is this individual different? Because he's also a Zov. Where in the Torah does it say, says the Gemara, there's a difference if he's a Zov or not? Says the Gemara. Uman tanah shamalei da'amar. Ask them, who is the Tana that actually holds that the Shechva Zerah shall Zov Matamba Mamasa? That a Zov that has Shechva Zerah emanating from his body will be Matamba Mamasa? Says the Gemara, it's Lat Rabbi Elazar, Lat Rabbi Yeshua. The Tana on Shechva Zerah shall Zav, Matamba Mamaga, Ved Matamba Mamasa, Divrei Rabbi Elazar. Yeshua, I'm Ap Matamba Mamasa, Lefi Sheef, Shebeloi Tzuch Ziva. There must be some Ziva liquid mixed in. Says the Gemara, At Kalan Kamer, Rabbi Shua Hassam. Why did Rabbi Shua say that the keri of a zov is tamba b'masa? Because he says there must have been some ziv there. But if not for that, he would agree that the keri alone is not metama b'masa. So the Mordechai asks a question: why shouldn't we say that even if there is ziva, but it's mostly keri, and the keri is mevatel the ziva? So he says two answers. One answer he says is that the ziva, the ziva liquid that came out, is noticeable. Anything which is independently noticeable, we don't say bittel on. That's one pshat that the Mordechai suggests. But then the Mordechai suggests another answer, which is a very fundamental rule in Hilchas Bittel. The Mordechai says, when do we apply the halacha Bittel? He says, we apply the halacha Bittel when we had two separate entities that each one had its own halachic status, and then those two separate entities got mixed up together. The classical example. We had meat, and we had, let's say, a pot of meat soup and some milk. So the meat soup is one entity, and the soup is a separate entity. And now the two entities, got the two liquids in this case, got mixed up. And that's what we say in the various halachas of bittel, if there's a drop of milk, bottle b'shishim, the milk will become bottle. But in a case that there were never two separate entities, like the case that we're learning here, where the ziva that came out, the keri that came out of this person's body, when it came out of the body, there was ziva in it. So it's not that there was a mix-up. They were always mixed from the beginning. Under those cases, we don't say bittel. But what we see from both of these opinions are that both of the opinion hold the keri of a zov will not be metamba masa. So who is, says the Gemara, who is the man d'amar, asked the Gemara, that holds that the keri of a zov is metamba b'masa? So says the Gemara, the Tanan, the Mishnah, Masechet Kelim, Perek Aleph Mishnah Gimel, discusses the three avos hatumah, sheretz, shechva zarah, metamei meis, that all three of them are only metamba b'maga. And then the Mishnah says, l'mal mehem, that there are certain things that have even a stricter level of tuma, that are even metamba b'masa. What are they? Zoivash al-zov, the zov, v'roikai, his saliva, v'shikva zaroi, and his semen, umay miraglov, v'dam anida, all of these, metamba b'ein b'maga b'ein b'masa. So we clearly see, we found a Tana that holds that the shikva zera of a zov is metam b'maga u'b'masa. Says the Gemara, who says that the way to understand that Mishnah is because he holds that the shikva zera of a zov because it came from a zov is matam b'masav d'malch nami. The reason is l'fisha eyefshe b'loy tzuchu ziva. There must be some ziva mixed into this. Says the Gemara, "Imkain listen to gabe zoyvay." So if that's the point, that it's only matam b'masav because of the zoyv element in it, the tana lo gabe roikoy. Why was it mentioned with the saliva? It should be mentioned with the ziva. Ella the kol the asi miroikoy. Says the Gemara, because we learn it from roik, and like we learned earlier, if roik, which is normally tar, if it comes out from a zov, is matam b'magav b'masa. So certainly keri, which is normally tamei, if it comes out from a zov, is matam b'magav b'masa. Amalei rachem adifta l'ravina. Hi tana d'loy darish dayai. I will show you a tana kama, a tana that doesn't learn dayai, even in a case d'loy mifrak kal v'chaymer. The tanya, the braisa teaches us. Mappets. It's a mat that was meant to use for laying on. Tumas mappets, but mace. You have such a mat in the place where there's a mace, in the oila mace. Menayin, how do we know that it becomes tamei, even though it's not a beged, it's not a garment, it's not a kli'or, it's not made out of leather, not kli'etz, it's made out of reeds, v'dinhu. So we learn it through the following kal v'chomer. Ma'apachim k'tanim, if kli cheres, shetorim bezov, that don't get tamei with tumazov. The reason they don't become tamei with tumazov is because the kli cheres that we're speaking about have a very narrow opening. So since they have such a narrow opening, the zov cannot even put a finger in there. If he can't put a finger in there, then it can't become tumas tumasmaga. Moreover, explain the rishonim. One of the tumas of tumas zov is hesed, that if a zov moves the keli, becomes tamei. But we only apply the dinam of tumas hesed where there is tumas maga. In a place where there's no tumas maga, there's no tumas masa. So ma pachim ktanim, shetoyrim bezov, that don't become tamei through a zov, but tamba mace, if they're found in the oil of mace, they become tamei. Mapet shmetamba bezov, if a zov sits down on a mat, it becomes tamei, because anything that was meant to be sat on gets tumas mishkav zov, and then shetamba mace. Says the Gemara v'kamay salop. The Gemara learned this halacha of tumas mace by mappets, bein le tumas erev, both for the halacha that you have to take it to the mikveh and that day you need herif shemesh, or bein le tumas shiva, that if it has tumas mace, you have to wait for 7 days, and then the third day and the seventh day, sprinkle on it the mechatis, the paraduma mixture. Amai, says the Gemara, why do we learn this kal v'chomer? Eim dahani kal v'chomer tumas erev, maybe we should say that it becomes tummy for that day. Or a hani dayoy, but then we'll apply the concept of dayoy, lafuki tumas shiva. Because a zov is only metame for one day, if he's a zov that didn't have two riyas. So we're going to say dayoy, we should limit the kal v'chomer, that it should, a mappet should only be tummy for one day. How do we say that it's tummy for all 7 days? Amalei, Ravina said to Rav Nachman, this question was already asked by Rav Chumah Zachari to Abayah, Vamal Abayah, Tana, Mappets B'Sheretz Maisla. He learns the halacha of Mappets of Tumas Meis from a Sheretz. And Hochkama, this is the way he learns the Kal V'Chomer. Mappets Tumat Sheretz Menayim. How do we know that a Mappets could be susceptible to a Sheretz touching it and becoming Tamei? V'dinu. And he learns the Kal V'Chomer, Mappach Ketanim Shetarim B'Zov. A zov can make small vessels tamei matam b'sheretz. A sheretz that touches it, a sheretz only needs the size of an adasha. Mappet shetam b'zov because it's meant to be sat on, and it didn't shidei tam b'sheretz. And indeed, the kal v'chomer will only talk about being tamei for one day, and we won't have a problem of dayoy. El mappets. So says the Gemara, if that's the way we're going to learn, how will we know the mappets meis benayin? How do we know that a mappets in the oil of meis is tamei? Says the Gemara, because name beged v'or b'sheretz, the Torah says v'chol sheipol emayim b'moisim yitma kol kleitz kleim zegeroi or, that's a pasuk by tumas sheretz. V'name beged v'or b'meis, v'chol beged v'chol kli'or, ma beged Hama b'sheretz mapitz tamibay. Af mapitz v'or hama b'meis mapitz tamibay. So what the Gemara is saying is this has nothing to do with dayoy. Rather, that mapitz is tamay b'tumis sheretz, which indeed is a tamay of only one day. We learn with a kavachaymer. And then, since the Torah connects the halacha of tumis sheretz and tumis meis, we say if a mapitz has tumis sheretz, it will also have tumis meis. Says the Gemara Mufna. In halacha, we find three types of gzeirah shavas. There's a gzeirah shava that both psukim that are being used for the gzeirah shava are extra. In such a case, the gzeirah shava is sound and can't be refuted. If only one of the psukim are extra, the halacha, we have a machlokes tanoim. Rabbi Shmuel says that this is a sound kal v'chomer lemeidim vel meshivas. We learned the gzeirah shava, but we can't refute it. The only thing that he agrees is that we have a choice to learn gzeirah shava. That's mufna mishnei tzadim, where both psukim are superfluous, or we can learn gzeirah shava where only one of the psukim are superfluous. We prefer to learn gzeirah shava with two superfluous psukim. The chama, however, hold le'evin ve'emeshivim. That Levin Meshivim, we can learn the Gzeirah Shava until there's a question on it. In case of Eina Mufna Klal, when the words aren't extra at all, there's a here two machlokes. Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Shmuel says that such a Gzeirah Shava is not learned at all, even if there's no question on it. Rav Acha Barei D'Rava in the name of Rav Elazar says that we can learn the Gzeirah Shava until there's a question on it. If there's no question on it, the Gzeirah Shava will stand. Or however, Meshivim, if there's going to be a question, it'll be refuted. So says the Gemara, this Gzeirah Shava that we just learned, connecting the halacha of a mapitz of a sheretz and the mapitz of a oil hameis, must be Gzeirah Shava mufna, that the words are superfluous. Dilai mufna, if the words aren't superfluous, ikla mifrach, this Gzeirah Shava could have been refuted. Because ma'al is sheretz, she came at time of Agdasha. A sheretz gives off tumma when even it's just a small the size of a lentil. Time of mace, shame at time of Kadasha, you need to have a kazayas. Says the Mar, yes, lai, mufnuya mufna. The words are superfluous. Michti, seretz ishkas le shechvazera. A sheretz is already compared to shechvazera. Because the Torah says, the ksiva negebachot tmei nefesh, oishi tetetz men shechvazera. So that pasuk is talking about shechvazera. The Samach Lein, then the pasuk says, "Oyisha shiyuga b'chol sheres," and the Torah by shechvazera already says, "V'chabeged b'chol or shiyolav shechvazera." So we learn from this pasuk that shechvazera is by beged or kli or beg v'or the kos rachmana sheres lomeli. So why did the Torah have to say it again by beg v'sheres? Shmamino lefnuye to have it available to teach us the halach of tumas mapitz. So we already know that we have a superfluous pasuk on the sheretz side. So says the Gemara, however, v'kati mufta mitzad echad hu. So only one of the words in this gzeirah shava are superfluous. So says the Gemara, going back to our introductory remarks, hanich l'mandam mufta mitzad echad, according to the opinion that says as long as you have one extra word, l'mei devem shivim, you can learn the gzeirah shava not refuted, shapus. Now we have a great gzeirah shava between sheretz and mace, and if mapitz is tamei by sheretz, it's also by oil and mace. However, ask the Gemara, elamanda amelameidim umeshivim, that it's a gzug gzeirah shava until there's a question, ma'ikel ameimer, if it's only on one side, only the pasuk by sheretz is extra. But if we could ask a question, which the Gemara did, because the Gemara says the sheretz has a chumrah, that it's tamei b'kadasha, whereas mace needs a mace, needs a kazayas. So how will I learn the gzeirah shava? Answers the Gemara, nami of mace, nami muf. The word by mace is also extra. Michti, mes eshkus l'shechvazera. A mace is also compared to shechvazera. The ksiv anegeh b'chol tmei nefesh o shetetsu meni shechvazera. The ksiv ebi shechvazera b'chol beger ka'or sheyela shechvazera. So we know that there's tumas mates by begin and or. Begiv or the kos rachmana b'meis. What did the Torah have to repeat? V'chabegiv k'kliyar V'chol mas izim v'chol klei eitz tischatohu lomeli, sh'mamino lefnuye, it's superfluous, so now it's muftim shnei tzadim, we can't ask any question in this kavachomer, and that's how we know this tumetz mapitz, even ba'oil hames. Hanicha, but ask the Gemara, whenever we learn gzeirus shava, there are two ways of looking at the gzeirus shava. One is dominav be'asra, we take the halachas, and we learn the halacha, but then we apply the rules as they are. So in our case, if we're going to learn tumas meis from tumas sheretz, so now that we've established that mapitz is subject to tumas meis, so we'll say all tumas meis apply by a mapitz. El man domi nami no. If we're going to learn from somewhere else, we have to learn all that Rebbe, the Talmud, cannot be stricter than the Rebbe. So if we're learning Tumas Meis of a Mapitz from Tumas Meis of a Sheretz, so then the Aloch should be, if a Sheretz is only Tamei for one day, then the Tumas Mapitz of a Meis should also be only Tamei for one day. Amar Rava, Amar Kra, that says the Gemara, there's another Pasuk. The Pasuk says, V'chibastem b'gdechem b'yom eshvi v'tahartem. Kol Tumas Shatem etam b'meis, le'yipchus m'sheva. This pasuk is teaching us a new halacha, that even though technically, since we're learning tumas mapitz of a mace from tumas mapitz of a sheretz, and mapitz sheretz is one day, mace should also be tumas mapitz of a mace should also only be one day. That is correct until we have this pasuk. But this pasuk comes to teach us a new rule, and the new rule that this pasuk is coming to teach us is that whenever we say Tumas Meis, no matter how we got to that place, the halacha is that 7 days. So now that we got to Tumas Mapitz, if has a Tumas Meis, this pasuk teaches us, now that I know that it has a Tumas Meis, that Tumas is going to be a 7-day Tumah.